The following podcast could be brought to you by anyone, but it's brought to you by our absolute favorite airport in Southern California.
That's right. It's the only airport that throws parties on the wing, the San Bernardino International Airport.
They're now celebrating over 2 years of commercial flights to areas in California and beyond.
That's right. It's an easy check-in process. We experienced it. It was flawless. And of course, the added bonus is that it's just $5 a day for parking.
So thank you, San Bernardino International Airport, for sponsoring this upcoming episode of Klein Alley Show.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The following podcast could be brought to you by anyone, but it's brought to you by our absolute favorite airport in Southern California.
That's right. It's the only airport that throws parties on the wing, the San Bernardino International Airport.
They're now celebrating over 2 years of commercial flights to areas in California and beyond.
That's right. It's an easy check-in process. We experienced it. It was flawless. And of course, the added bonus is that it's just $5 a day for parking.
So thank you, San Bernardino International Airport, for sponsoring this upcoming episode of Klein Alley Show.
Hey, Rock, we are Klein Alley Show. Announced earlier this morning, we are looking for you to join us for the 10-Second Freak Show tomorrow in the K-Rock Studios on Halloween. Anything that you can do to freak us out or show your inner freak in 10 seconds or less could be a talent, could be something physical, could be a costume. I don't know what it is. You could win yourself tickets to When We Were Young in Vegas, the just-announced brand-new lineup, including Panic at the Disco, Blink-182, Weezer, Avril, The Offspring, and so many others. And we will send you to LCD Sound System tomorrow night for a Halloween show. So if you want to get in on this, slide in the DMs. You can call us, 800-520-1067, or send us a text, and we will work in a few of you to join us in studio tomorrow for the 10-second Halloween Freak Show. Right now, though, let's figure out what's going on in the world. It's time for a look at your ADD news, and here she is to break it all down. Allison Pougars Johnson.
Grab your Adderall. It's time for ADD News. I'm actually reading this handcuffed to a radiator. Help me.
That is the name on my birth certificate, Klein.
I know.
All right, the Dodgers may have lost last night, but the moment that everyone has been talking about are the fan ejections that took place early in the game. The Yankee fans that were immediately escorted out of the park after Mookie Betts made an impressive catch, but they thought, hey, why not just rip it out of his hands, throw it back on the field, and maybe the umpires won't see it and they'll say it wasn't a catch. This is what happened in real time.
Right by Torres. Betts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out and fan interference. And yeah, Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off. Pries the ball out of there. A for effort.
Well, he won't be watching the game much longer.
Wow, he might. Just from a TV, he's going to be watching
on the TV.
And you can kind of see the guy was smiling after he did it. It was just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to get one to you.
Yeah, and he got tossed.
And then I guess he's already happily doing interviews. He's got a couple of them coming up today. He's going to tell his side of the story, which I don't know what the hell. Like, what's your side of the story? It's all on tape.
He was trying to make it a home run. It wasn't. It was an out, and that's the end of that.
No, but I think it would have been foul anyway.
Oh, right. But regardless, it's anytime you try to, I mean, you're not allowed to, you cannot interfere. And you can definitely not grab and, I mean, he could have bent and broken his hand, I mean, in some ways. I mean, he was twisting it around.
Yeah, he really, I mean, he took his glove and pried it open with his arms and also had trouble. And he was a pretty big guy. But when I think about fan interference, I think of that spur of the moment, like, hey, you're about to catch a home run ball and then you reach your glove over and it would have been an out, but you screwed it up. But it was just, you weren't thinking because you were going, I got to catch this thing. This was like a calculated effort to change the outcome of the game and rip a ball out of a player's hand, which just seems so, it just seems so intentional.
Yeah. And I think that, look, this guy's going to enjoy his 15 minutes of fame, but I don't know if he'll be allowed back into, I wonder how long that ban is for once you get ejected. I was thrown out of Yankee Stadium one time.
You were?
And I wasn't allowed to go back in there for, I think it was the rest of the season.
What happened?
It was a crazy story, and it wasn't even my fault, but
well, that's what usually people say when it's their fault.
I had really, really good seats randomly one time, And when I got to my seats, there were these two women sitting in the seats. And so they had to, like, escort them out. They said, these aren't your seats. And they got moved back kind of behind the barrier. I didn't realize this, but one of those two women apparently had been an official stalker of, at the time, it was Derek Jeter.
Cool.
She was officially a stalker of his and was apparently not allowed within 500 yards of him.
Whoa.
Because she had stalked him. And her plan was that she was going to run out on the field like she had done, I think, before and try to hug him.
Whoa.
I didn't know any of this was happening. All I knew is that
I was in her seat and it was up to me now.
Right. I had to go hump him. It was my seat. I was in my seat and she spent the entire game angry that she now lost her opportunity to jump over the dugout and run onto the field and
Whoa.
Hug him. And at one point, I think she got so mad, looked at me like I was the person standing between her and her love, that she dumped an entire beer on my head. And then when I turned around to figure out what happened, she basically punched me.
What?
And I had no idea what I had done. So
were you with anybody?
Yeah, I was with, actually, it's funny, I was with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and she went out to get us food, and then when she came back, I was nowhere to be found because she punched me, and then next thing I knew, security came and pulled both of us out of there, and I said, I don't know what even happened.
Oh, my God.
And then they explained to me after the fact, they're like, yeah, she's a stalker, she was going to run on the field, she had all these love notes on her that she was going to hand to him and all this stuff, and I'm like, but why, how did I get involved in this? And they were chanting, I remember when I was getting pulled out of the stadium, the crowd was chanting, let him stay, let him stay.
Really?
Yeah, because they kind of saw what had happened. It was crazy.
Sure they weren't saying, that dude's gay? That dude's gay?
Maybe that's what they were saying. That's what
I started that chant.
Okay. And they pulled me out, and then it was a whole thing. And I think they said because I was an alter, they had to go over all the footage and this and that, but they said...
And then they still said you can't come back?
Yeah, they said until we reach out. They
really homophobic, that stadium.
I finally got cleared.
That dude's gay.
I got cleared of all charges somehow. But I'm telling you, I got tossed at Yankee Stadium. Real story.
That's crazy.
You got tossed because you wouldn't toss.
That's right. That's right. Could have been you and me, Jeter. Could have been us. Could have been us.
All right. The good thing about being famous is that you can even make money when you are dead. And people always like to focus on the highest paid celebrities in the living world. But this is a list of the highest celebrity earners in the afterlife.
Oh, go ahead. Elvis is always on there,
right? Elvis is on there. Whitney Houston is on there. Dr. Seuss. That's a big one, I guess, still. Prince, Bob Marley, Arnold Palmer.
Oh, yeah, the drink alone.
Charles Schulz, because everyone still loves the old, I moved the football and Charlie Brown fell down.
Sure.
That lives on forever. Matthew Perry was also on the list this year, but the number one highest paid dead celebrity still, and I think will always be...
Richard Simmons.
Michael Jackson.
Oh, Michael Jackson.
Who still pulls in $6 million weekly from his hologram shows. And the other, number two on the list is Freddie Mercury, because he just made $240 million because Queen just sold their music catalog.
Is there a special, there's got to be a specialist or an agency that just specializes in dead celebrities, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that'd be
absolutely.
Great, because you never have to deal with your clients. They're never going to call and bitch about stuff.
But then you have the estate and the people and the family fighting over stuff.
But you're just telling them, look, you guys want something or nothing. And they're like, this is great.
They're like, get another hologram up.
Right, more grand. All right, we get into a brand new hour of the show, and we do it right now.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.